Peter, where would Oncotype DX fit into this patient situation?
Well, I think that Oncotype DX could be used in a patient like this. Basically, it's designed, of course, for node-negative patients who you're going to be giving hormonal therapy to. Specifically, it's been developed in tamoxifen. Now, there are two aspects of the test. One is it could be used to take a look to see how it might influence your view of her prognosis. There are certainly discordances between classic pathologic information as viewed using something like adjuvant and Oncotype DX scores. I'm not sure exactly what you do if you get discordant values, by the way. I think the great hope for the Oncotype DX test is that it will be useful to identify those patients who might particularly benefit more than in an average way from chemotherapy. And so that story is, I think, very incomplete at this point. They're not making claims on their printout sheets that it does this yet, nor are guideline recommendations suggesting. And they have data from one adjuvant trial using one regimen, CMF, which you're not really thinking about using if you were going to be using a regimen in this patient. So from my point of view, you could refine things a little bit, but it's a typical internal medicine docs, give me some more information while I think about this. And you'd end up, at best, with discordant information. It wouldn't necessarily change your opinion.
Hal, in general, would you be thinking about Oncotype in a patient like this?
I love the Oncotype test for this kind of patient because this is exactly the patient population where we all have strongly suspected for a long time that the benefits of chemotherapy are very small. She has a favorable overall prognosis. The tumor is small at less than 2 centimeters. It is estrogen receptor positive, and I believe you said it was grade 1. So a lot of things of late have made us really question the role of chemotherapy. Retrospective analyses suggest that most of the gains are in hormone receptor negative disease. Prospective studies have shown modest benefits under any circumstance. If you look at NSABP B20, who she would have been a perfect candidate for, the benefits of chemotherapy on top of tamoxifen treatment alone are only on the estimate of 4%, and most women would have had larger tumors than she would have had with a higher grade. We know from a lot of other work that grade is an important predictor of the likely benefits of chemotherapy. So we've known a lot of this. And so this is the situation where you're talking about, would you take chemotherapy for a very, very small benefit, some of which might even be accomplished by ovarian suppression, especially in someone with a hormone receptor positive low-grade tumor. So historically, the dilemma has been that if you look at models of risk or if you look at clinical practice guidelines like from the NCCN, they say, oh, she's got a tumor greater than 1 centimeter, give her chemotherapy. And yet we all know that there's really, really small gain. So the way out of this box is a test like Oncotype DX. Because we've had all this information in front of us for a long time, and yet many of us have lacked the courage of our convictions to say to a woman who has a low-risk tumor like this, you don't need chemotherapy. I mean, that really is the crux of the issue.
So she gets Oncotype and she has a high recurrence score.
First of all, she's not going to have a high recurrence score because she's got a HER2-negative, low-grade tumor. And unless your pathologist is out to lunch, they're going to have a low-risk score. Now, it must be said that one of the reasons we've lacked the courage of our convictions is we don't all have fabulous pathologists. So we all sit around, you look and say, well, you know, I'm not really sure how much I trust the pathologist's interpretation of grade or testing and things. But what's going to happen is you're going to get a low or an intermediate score in a case like this. And at that point, you can go to the grids and it'll tell you that there is no benefit for chemotherapy if she has a low risk score. And there is possibly, you can't prove that there's no benefit for an intermediate score, but it's really, really, really small. And I find that patients both understand this intuitively and that they like seeing the quantitative numbers. For those of you who've ordered this test, you know that you get a piece of paper that has a sinuous curve on it, and you can plot out exactly what their risk is. And they understand that you can use this to both risk stratify and choose chemotherapy.
So why are you ordering the test if you know what it's going to show?
Well, I think that the dilemma is that the test is a spine-stiffening tool for the oncologist. We have often had all of this data in front of us, and yet we have not felt sufficiently empowered by the pathobiological data to make treatment recommendations based on it. And I think that, to its credit, tests like Oncotype allow us to feel more confident. And Peter makes all the appropriate points, which is that it's one study, it's B20, it's retrospective. But on the other hand, I think the principles of which patients really have tumors that are sensitive to chemotherapy or not are generalizable. And the second is that that's the same test, that's the same study for which we base all our recommendations. And so, you know, it's fair to say that, oh, B20 is only one study, but that's the test that would in the first place suggest you're even talking about chemotherapy with her, because where else are there data that tumors that are less than 2 centimeters really need chemo?